This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you're joining us online from Gateway. It's a little different this week. We're in the chapel, and we just have a minimal team because we're complying with the governor's orders, and we got confirmation that we could have a minimal team. So there is literally four of us in the room right now. So we are glad you're joining us. Grab a cup of coffee if you want to stand, you want to sit. This is an opportunity to worship. It's not really a chance just to watch. It's an opportunity to engage. So we're going to sing some songs. Tom's going to bring a message, and we're excited you're with us. So join us today as we sing. Here we go.
Son of God, Son of Man, His life poured out for all. See His hands, see His scars, His love can't be denied. Our God is high. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ. Every death, all we owe, He bears it as His own. Brought to life, we are learned to live in Christ alone. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivered me. I say,
wherever we are, You are great and You are still on the throne. You are King, You are Lord, and we put our trust in You.
See the Lamb of God, see the Father's love, all to Jesus we owe. My only plea, the blood He shed delivered me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. The love so great, the cross of Christ. It is the cross, my only plea, the blood He shed delivered me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. So great, the cross of Christ.
See the Lamb of God.
See the Lamb of God. See the Father's love. All to Jesus we owe. He paid it all. redemption delivered me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ. You are life, you are love, you bring life to the darkness, you give. Every heart that is broken, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
Now is a time when there's a lot of question, there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's a lot of unknowns. But the one thing that we do know is that Scripture promises us that He never fails. Scripture promises us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can place our trust in Him, the rock that the builders rejected, the cornerstone, the one who gives us faith, the one who brings peace. This song is It Is Well. It's probably a familiar song to many of you. As we sing this song, just let God's peace invade your heart, invade your mind, because we struggle with the mind. The battlefield is the mind. Let God invade your mind as we sing this morning.
Why can we sing that from the very, very deep of our heart? Because the truth of this psalm, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as a water surge. And you can just hear the psalmist, kind of what's going on in his mind. Just let it all happen. Let it just happen because God. Is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. And I'd like for us just to take a few moments this morning, just really to kind of pray through that psalm. Say, God, you're my refuge and you're my fortress. No matter what happens, no matter what takes place, and some of us I know are facing financial difficulty. God, even in the midst of financial difficulty, you're our refuge. God, in the midst of brand new daily rhythm, this bringing tensions, I'll be talking about that in just a little bit. God, you're our refuge and you're our strength and you're my strength. So can we just join together in prayer this morning? Our Father, we give you great praise for the truth of your word. You are our refuge and you are our strength. And we just declare that again today. I mean, all around us we see systems crumbling. Daily we're seeing, God, the effects of this virus and what's happening, and we can see that, but our dependence is not on any governmental authority, or God's not even on ourselves. It's on you, the one who protects us and the one who watches over us. We may not know what the next day will hold, but you do. We may not even know what the next step looks like, but you do. So we just declare again today, our trust is in you. So we invite you into this place, into our homes. Some of us gathered as groups, some of us individually today. God, will you just allow the truth of who you are to settle deep in our heart? We pray these things in Jesus' name. And we say it is well with my soul. Amen.
their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel true love the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jason, and thank you to your daughter.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So that was great. So, and thank you for joining in again on this day, this morning. You know, every week prior to all of this, we were inviting you to come on into this place. I'll just call it our house, God's house, our time here. And now you are inviting us into your home. And I just want to say a huge thank you for that. I mentioned it last week, and it's true again this week. There are so many opportunities for you to be online in different places, different churches that are just sharing such amazing words and so on. But you've chosen to be with us this morning. So I say a huge thank you for that. I want to say thank you to Jason and his team. And we've had to completely reorganize and reset up for these days right now in the chapel here. It meant moving different equipment in, so much going on, and they've tested the system and all, and there might be a glitch or two every now and then. Thank you for just hanging in there with us. And I just want to remind you, many go to the video archives, gatewayfellowship.com. If you go to the online campus, you'll find the archives. It's kind of a Gateway on demand, so you can stream the service to your home, maybe at a better time for you, better time for your gathering, better time for your family. So just remind you of that, and that's an opportunity that you might want to avail yourself to. Well, Easter plans, as we've been saying, have changed just a little bit. And so watch the website, gatewayfellowship.com, and when you go there, up on top, you're going to find a banner. It says COVID-19 update and resources. You'll find that. We'll be posting information there as well as on the main page of the website. And I encourage you to go there. You'll find links for children, for students, and so on, for adults, some ideas, things that you can maybe do during this time. Also, you'll see an announcement of a Roku channel. So some of you are on Roku and how to get there. You go to live stream that channel, then search for Gateway Live Stream, and you'll find all that as well. Again, thanks to Jim and to the others who have been a part of that. Your giving is probably more critical now maybe than it ever has been before. So I want to thank you for your faithful giving, for your tithe. Numbers of people have dropped their giving by the church. You can mail that in again if you go to that resource page, COVID-19 resource page. You'll find mailing address and so on there if you want to mail in or use your banking system, giving online links. Thank you for that. We're continuing on reaching out to you, our church family, and then to the community as well, and you're just enabling that to happen. So thank you very, very much. Well, the days are different, aren't they? And for some of us, we have just sensed and felt, added stress, added tension. But I just want to remind us of something so very important. And it really begins with a story that I have just come to love. I think if I were to say, does anybody know about Disneyland? I think like 100% of us would go, of course we know about Disneyland. We know about Walt Disney. But I heard a story about his daughter, Diane Disney. And she was writing a book about her father. And in that, she kind of details her life and the beginning of her school years. And so she went to kindergarten, and you can kind of think back to those days. What happened for you also happened to her. And they were in a circle, and they were all introducing themselves. So as the kids started to go around the circle, they would give their name and so on. And it got to her, and she says, "My name is Diane Disney." And all the kids in the class just exploded. And she didn't know what was going on. In fact, she was starting to cry. She thought there was something wrong with her. And her teacher came up, and she says, "Honey, what's the matter?" She goes, "Is there something wrong with me? You know, what's the matter?" She goes, "No, we're just introducing ourselves. Now, could you introduce us? Give us your name." And she said, "Well, it's Diane Disney." And again, the class just exploded and just erupted. And she goes, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" And she said, "Honey, there's nothing. Now, you said your name is Diane Disney. Is your father Walt Disney?" And she goes, "Yes, that's my father." She goes, "Well, honey, the reason why the class exploded is because they're really happy for you and probably happy for themselves as well. But you see, I understand that like Disneyland, that's kind of like your playground. Mickey Mouse, he's yours and your father's Walt Disney." And she says she went home, and she went in, and her father was reading the newspaper, and she grabbed that newspaper out of his hands, and she stood there, and she says, "You're Walt Disney." And he says, "Well, yes, but you knew that. You're Walt Disney." And she goes on, and she says, like, for a month afterwards, as just a kindergartner, she says, "I was stunned to learn who my father was." Just think about that for just a moment. I was stunned to learn who my father was. Here's the reality: when we as followers of Jesus come to know who our father really is, that brings comfort and that brings such a source of peace. Let me just share with you out of the book of Psalms for just a moment, some scriptures I think that remind us who our Father is. Psalm 145, verse 18, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." The Lord is near. In the chaos of this time, the Lord is near. Psalm 9, verses 9 through 10, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 118, verse 13, "I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me." Your father, my father, was there. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And then one last psalm, Psalm 34. It's probably one of my favorite. "I sought the Lord." And can we just insert father there? "I sought my father, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." When we live in the reality of who our Father is, we bring glory to God in all areas of our life. When we live in this reality of who our Father is, it changes how we live. It gives us purpose for living during good days and during challenging days. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 is a great reminder. Paul just says this, and I love it. He says, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. I love how Paul begins that. He says, so whether you eat or drink, and then he says, like, or whatever you do. And I kind of get this mental picture that Paul is going, okay, he was going to list off a whole bunch of things there, you know, kind of about life and so on. So he goes, okay, whether you eat, okay, whether you drink, that, let's just say, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So let's insert some things. As I teach my kids in homeschool, do it all for the glory of God. As I go out and do yard work, I've seen pictures and posts about, like, I'm getting more yard work done now than I've ever done before. Look, do it all for the glory of God. When you take that trip to the grocery store, that one trip a week, or you send your shopper or whoever it is, do it all for the glory of God. As you go about your day, whatever you do in life, do it all for the glory of God. The principle which Paul summarized here is in response to a question of eating food offered as a pagan sacrifice with the application of the command to love God and our neighbors. And I want to say this, it starts in our home. That command starts in our home. All Christian behavior, say it together now, even if you're alone, all Christian behavior, that's why Paul says, whatever you do, should be for the glory of God. All Christian behavior. It should build up the church by leading some to brand new birth. It brings others to a maturity in their faith. Our actions and our reactions should always bring glory to God. Now you might be saying, like, that's impossible because some of my reactions this week, think about it for just a moment. What were your reactions this week? What did you think? How did you act? Did it bring glory to God? Because here's why I want to say, we have so much opportunity as followers of Jesus, as the church, to live our life out in a way during these pressure-packed times to give glory to God in all that we do, in all of life. And so today, I want to help us kind of get through this however long time that we're in an area I think that might be challenging to us all. I don't know about you, but when the pressure builds up and the tension kind of rises in our homes and kind of in life right now, what do you think the first outlet is? I mean, let's just, guys, if you're a husband, let's just think about it for just a moment. When the tension builds up during these challenging days, we're not sure how it's all going to work out. What's the first thing that we do? I mean, like, let's be honest, for most of us, it isn't like, okay, I'm really getting upset right now. The tension's getting really, really high. Okay, I'm going to go buy my wife flowers and give her some flowers. That's usually not what happens. I think for all of us, kind of, what happens is we begin to kind of explode maybe in some form or fashion, and our speech becomes the outlet, the things that we say, the things that we do. So I want to help us during this time, I think. I'm going to give you five principles in just a few moments that you can apply. So I just encourage you, get a piece of paper, get out your phone, get out your tablet, whatever you need to do. I'm going to give you five principles to kind of negotiate these days when the tension is on and we may feel like we want to say things that we do not think want to say, but they just kind of seem to kind of come out. Now, got your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, because there's some things that will help us here, I think. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, if you keep on reading, I just read that out of the ESV version, but if you keep reading down in just a couple of verses, to verse number 31, the NLT says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and harsh words. Get rid of those things. Don't let them be a part of your life. Remember, we're talking about living our life in such a way that we give God the glory. Everything that we do, including our speech. Now, if I could and you were here, I would pull out my pen and I would encourage you to pull out your pen. Where is it? There it is, right there. And I would circle some things here in this scripture. I would circle, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up one another. I would circle building up one another. See, speech matters. The words that we use, the things that we say, particularly during this time, they matter. They either build up or they tear down. No matter if it's our husband, if it's our spouse, if it's our friend, our kids, regardless of their age, our speech will build others up or it will tear others down. We have this tremendous opportunity during this time to build up one another. I would circle occasion. As fits the occasion, meaning whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in. So we find ourselves in difficult, challenging circumstances even right now. As I mentioned earlier, some, your doors of your office closed, your business closed, and that's an occasion that you didn't expect coming. None of us did. But it's an opportunity to build up one another. Even during this time, whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in, most of us are finding our offices moved to our homes. It's the occasion. Some of you, that's your normal rhythm. But for some of us, we have moved our offices to our homes. That's the occasion that we're living in. And he goes on, that it may give grace to those who hear. And I would circle those three words, those that hear, because that's a great reminder for us. It's about the other guy. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about my wife. It's about your wife. It's about your husband. It's about your kids. It's not about us. So many times we have heard this, and we probably have said it. I've said it. I suppose most of us have. I just need to get that off my chest. And so the things that we said were more for our benefit, right? I just need to kind of say that. I just need to get that off my chest, and now I'm really, really glad I do. But Paul says, no. It's to benefit those who hear. What is our guiding principle here? Our conversations matter. Our speech matters, perhaps more right now than any other time. How we act and how we react matters. We've been in 2 Timothy for the last number of weeks, Paul is telling Timothy, he says, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. Of course, he's talking about the setting is within the church. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. I'd circle that word too. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth. I want to take Paul's teaching and expand it just a little bit to include our daily now at-home lives. Now, some of you might be thinking, I wish I would have just slept in this morning. I don't know if this is why I wanted here, but just bear with me for just a few moments, because I want us to see this as a great opportunity for you and for me. Raise your hand. Now, you got to be honest. You're at home, and if you're alone, no one's seeing you, but I want you to raise your hand, or in your group, raise your hand if you fell into a foolish conversation or controversy. Okay, look around. Yeah. See, hands are raised. How about this one? You fell into what Paul describes as an ignorant conversation. Let's just say it was a conversation that just didn't go anywhere. Raise your hand. Okay. Look around. How about this one? You were quarrelsome. There are four people in here, and two of us have our hand up. How about this one? Maybe you struggled with patience. Okay, maybe all of us have our hand up on that one. This week, it was near the end of the week. I think it was Friday, may have been yesterday. You know, the days are kind of like all mixing together. In fact, I told Jen last night, I go, man, tomorrow is Saturday. She goes, tomorrow is Sunday, buddy. You better be ready. So anyway, I said, what? My days are just mixing up. So I think it was Friday, maybe yesterday or something. I laid down just to take kind of an afternoon. I was so tired. And when I got up, Jen confronted me with something like, what would you like for dinner tonight? I mean, yeah, confronted me with that. And my response was, you ought to know what I want. You know, why do I need to answer that question? I told you that already, or something like that. And I mean, like, and she kept trying to reframe those things, but you know what? My speech, we talk about building someone up or being quarrelsome or not being kind. Yeah, it was there. And I was sitting in my makeshift home office. And you know how the Holy Spirit can just kind of start nudging you just a little bit. Yeah, he did that for me. And I found myself having to go out and say, look, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to act that way. You see, it's true for all of us, isn't it? We find ourselves in these times and these positions, and just kind of blows off sometimes. We need to come back to that place, that prayer that says, Jesus, just let everything I do bring glory to your name. Charles Swindoll said this, it is, in our rough and rugged individualism, we think of gentleness as weakness, being soft and virtually spineless. Not so. Gentleness includes such enviable qualities as having strength under control, being calm and peaceful when surrounded by a heated atmosphere, emitting a soothing effect on those who may be angry or otherwise beside themselves, and possessing tact and gracious courtesy that causes others to retain their self-esteem and dignity. Instead of losing the gentle gain, instead of being ripped off and taken advantage of, they come out ahead. And I think we can kind of wrap that whole statement around this one word, patience. Patience is required. Patience is acting towards others, is acting towards our kids, is acting towards our spouses, to our friends, to those in the neighboring apartment, wherever they are. Patience is acting toward others as we would want them to act towards us. And I'm talking specifically this morning in this area of our speech. It includes all areas of life, but our speech. Patience is to deal with others the way Jesus deals with us. And so I want to give you just five things to consider now, and that will help us, I think, in these days. And I'm just going to call it a big old pause. Okay, so if you can envision a big old red button, boom, that says pause. Okay, that's what we're going to remember. So it's real easy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, five things. You can write them down. You can even remember them this way. Our speech guided by pause. Five things. Are you ready? Okay, number one, P, prepare. Prepare. Think about it. Choose when and where you might need this conversation. It might not be at the dinner table. It might not be during school work time. I don't know, but we need to prepare, and preparation begins with prayer and seeking God for wisdom. If it's your neighbor, your apartment maybe is just too loud, you know, just going on. Man, everybody's home now, and you need to have this conversation. It begins, boom, hit that pause button by preparing. Prayer and choosing and the best time and best place and seeking God. And by the way, the best time and best place, that includes all of us. That includes your kids. That includes your spouses. That includes everybody. So P stands for prepare, okay? A stands for affirm relationships. Okay, affirm relationships. God has given me the most incredible wife in the world. It affirms that relationship. It affirms the relationship of your children. Look, mom, dad, okay, it's for those of you who are not used to homeschooling and so on, this is brand new to you, you can't give your kids away. You have to keep them. So I read something the other day where people were going out and they're scraping off their car, you know, the best student sticker and those kind of stickers. You know, I'm going to get rid of that, you know, or my student did, you know, they're scraping. Look, you got to affirm relationships. God has brought us into this together. And he's put families together. And so in these relationships, we communicate in a courteous, gentle, and kind manner, not like I just shared with you with Jen. We communicate our desire to do what is right and not win. If you're a person in authority, maybe you have employees, we're exercising that with restraint. If we're under authority, we're submitting to authority. It's all about affirming the relationship that we're in. Prepare, affirm relationships. P-A-U, unite around a common goal. Kids understand goals. We understand goals. What is the issue and what is the position and desired outcome of the other person? That's going to look different in all of our lives, in all of our families. But if we can come together and unite around a common goal, that's going to take us a long way down the road in some of these hard conversations we're having now. One of the things that we attempt to do here as a church when we're developing partnerships is to find those areas that we can agree on as a goal. So if you were to draw two circles, we would just bring those two circles together. There are some things on the edges that we cannot agree, but there's an area of agreement right in the center, and that's our focus. So P, right, prepare. Everybody say it, prepare. A, affirm relationships. U, unite around a common goal. And then the S is really, really important. Are you ready? Seek calm. Seek calm. That's hard. That can be tough. Seek calm. However you do that individually and around your family, we have to seek that space, calmness. And finally, evaluate progress and then exercise that patience that we just talked about. Prepare, affirm relationships, unite around a common goal, seek calm, and exercise patience. Patience. That's what it looks like hitting the pause button. I think that will help us get through these days and through these times and really in all of life. One last psalm before Jason Kinsey come and lead us in our closing worship song comes from Psalm 16, verse 8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And then verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. That's the key to bringing glory to him in all areas of our life, including this one area of our speech and our conversation. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And I'm just going to encourage us all together, as Jason and Kinsey lead us, to enter into worship. We might be closing our eyes. We might be singing. I don't know. But whatever you're doing, let's just enter into worship. For some of us, we might need to give this area of our speech to the Lord. You might need to, like I had to this week, go back to the one that you hurt and just apologize. You know, I have found that when we do that, that just kicks the enemy right out. Let everything that we do, whether we eat or drink, bring glory to God. Father, I pray right now for each one. I pray for myself. I pray for all of us, Lord, that our lives would be devoted to you, eyes always on you, with a deep desire to give glory to you. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, may we give glory to you, especially in this area, speech, our conversations. May they be godly. May they be honoring of you within our homes. When we do stray out to the grocery store for that essential need, I pray that our actions, our reactions, the things that we say, our conversations would be seasoned with grace and would honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Far above all we know, far above all we hope, He has done great things. Lifted up, He defeated the grave, raised to life, our God is able. In His name we overcome, for the Lord our God is able.
God is with us.
God is with us. He will go before. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. God is for us. He hath open arms. He will never fail us. He will never fail us. Lift He defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. Lifted up, He defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. Overcome, for the Lord our God is able. For the Lord our God is able. For the Lord our God is able.
Amen. And yes, He is. I would let's ask you to, again this week, would you just snap a photo of your group or individuals, like do a selfie and email that to info@gatewayfellowship.com. We love posting those. So take a photo, look around, like if you're in your PJs, you know, whatever, that's okay. Or a selfie, info@gatewayfellowship.com. And I'm going to close in prayer. Now, I just want to invite us this morning to just pray for so many churches who are gathering online. Jason, you just shared this past week with me how many people at Gateway were online. Yeah, it's incredible. And we're just believing that this is the greatest time for the church. Listen to one pastor who said, like, almost double online for us down out of California. We're just believing that this is the greatest opportunity for the church today. So let's pray for other churches, shall we? Let's pray for one another, and then we'll be back together again next week. Father, I thank You for the great opportunity we have had just to gather. It looks different, feels different, but You're the same. You are the same. So we rejoice in that. We just pray, Lord, for just a great in gathering. your kingdom. May your kingdom grow and be expanded. We pray for other churches today, different faith communities who are sharing the good news of the gospel in a variety of ways. Lord, bless them, we pray. May your kingdom grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. Remember the video archives if you want to do like a watch party a little bit later. And we'll see you next Sunday.
This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsville, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.